welcome to the Mind Your Hormones podcast. My name's Corinne, and I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist who went from no period from mismanaged PCOS to a regular one. Now I'm obsessed with helping you get hormonally balanced and emotionally aligned. This podcast is all about education, empowerment, real talk, and simple strategies you could start today to find inner peace and overall well-being. I am so excited to be here with you to chat about all things health, hormones, and mindset. Are you ready? Let's get it. What's going on? Welcome back to Mind Your Hormones. I'm excited for today's episode because we're doing another Q&A. And I really like doing Q&As because if somebody in the community has a question, then most likely somebody else also has a similar question. So recently I did a live Q&A in the Mind Your Hormones podcast Facebook community, which if you are not part of this community and you are part of this podcast community and you're not in that Facebook group, it's totally free to join. I do random Q&As in there to answer your questions. I'll let you know when I have like fun things coming up. I'll sometimes do free trainings in there. It's just a really nice way to be in connection with all the people that are in this community, which is growing so rapidly and I love it so much. So if you want to join that Facebook group, the link is always in the show notes. It's totally free. So you could see the full Q&A of this if you want to check that out. But I pulled a couple of the questions that I got in that Q&A and I want to bring it to you right now on the show because I thought they were really good. And I know that other people are probably wondering some of these. So I pulled four questions. We'll see what we get to. I don't want to make this episode too long and you know I can get on some tangents. So hopefully we'll get to all four, but if not, we'll get to the ones that we can get to. And you can always listen to the rest of the Q&A with all the other questions in the podcast community, the free one, the Facebook group, the link is below. Okay. All right, so let's get into it. The first one is from Martine and she asks, I read somewhere that it's possible to have two ovulations in a month. Is that correct? And this is a super easy answer. The answer is no. 100% no. You cannot ovulate more than once in a month. And I don't know where she read this. I don't know where this was coming from, but it's absolutely false. You can only fully ovulate one time a month. What could possibly happen, because I'm trying to think of why someone would think that this would be something that could actually happen. What could possibly happen is that a lot of people think that they're tracking their ovulation using LH strips, luteinizing hormone strips, which we talk about this a lot on the podcast. People who are trying to conceive will use this to detect when they're fertile and when they're not and when they're about to ovulate. And this is one of the reasons why I highly suggest against that. You could use LH strips in conjunction with tracking your cervical mucus and your basal body temperature, but I do not recommend just LH strips alone. And this is where someone could maybe think that you ovulate once in a month if you ovulate more than once in a month, if they thought that LH strips actually confirmed ovulation. Because what can happen is when you are using LH strips, and if you don't know what this is a strip you pee on and it's supposed to detect and let you know when your luteinizing hormone is increasing. And the whole purpose around this is your luteinizing hormone will increase before ovulation because that's a hormone that actually helps your eggs burst and ovulate and the whole thing. But what can happen specifically with people who have PCOS is that their LH strips can increase in the process of hoping to ovulate and getting ready to ovulate, but never actually reaching ovulation. And if you're only looking at LH strips and you're not tracking your basal body temperature, you might think that, oh, I got a positive LH strip, so that means that I'm ovulating. And then maybe a couple weeks later, you were taking your LH strips again and you saw that you had a high positive test again. And you're like, oh, wait a second, I just ovulated and now I'm ovulating again. So maybe that's where this person thought this was coming in from, but that's not true because LH strips only indicate that your luteinizing hormone has increased, but that is not actually confirming ovulation. You can only ovulate once. You can only confirm ovulation via your basal body temperature and tracking your cervical mucus. But the way to fully confirm it is actually that basal body temperature increasing after you ovulate for 3 days in a row. If you haven't listened to episode 123 of the podcast, I talk about it there. If you're like, what are you talking about? Go check that episode out. And And you could also check your cervical positioning as well. That's like a step further. You can actually feel the difference before you ovulate versus after you ovulate. It will have like, you'll feel like a little wall that will hit. It shifts and closes. So sperm actually can't get in there. But to easily answer this question, you absolutely cannot ovulate more than once in a month. It is only once a month. You're only actually fertile for 5 to 6 days in a month, which is why I talk about this all the time, why I refer to 123 episode all the time. So you can get to start knowing how to track this. And then obviously I talk about my training, Your Fertile Window, constantly because it's so freaking powerful. If you are someone who's trying to get pregnant or who's not on hormonal birth control, but you don't want to get pregnant yet and you need to know when those 5 to 6 day fertile window is, it's so, so, so important to know exactly how to track that. And that training is like so important for you if this is the space that you're in. That's in the show notes as well. If you want to check that out, you could start with episode 123. And if you want to go further, you can always hop into the training. But quickly answer this. Nope, you absolutely cannot ovulate more than once in a month. Okay, moving on to number two. If you can confirm ovulation with cervical mucus and basal body temperature, is that enough to know that you are fertile? Or can you still be infertile but still ovulate? I love this question. And I personally don't use the word infertile because I actually don't believe in infertility. Like, not that I don't believe in infertility. I of course believe that people struggle with getting pregnant all the time, but I don't like the word infertile because first of all, it has such a negative connotation. It makes us feel like there's something wrong with us if that's something that's going on. And in my opinion, it's just that we haven't actually given the body what it needs in order to get that working. So I just don't like using the word infertile. However, you can absolutely still be ovulating and have imbalances. Just because you ovulate does not mean that you don't have imbalances that can absolutely affect your fertility. You can ovulate and not have strong ovulation. This is another reason why it's so important to track your basal body temperature. Because if you ovulate, and a lot of people will say, oh, but I spot after ovulation, or I spot about the week before my period, that is a sign of low progesterone levels. And if you confirmed your ovulation, like, okay, but I confirmed ovulation, my temperature was high for 3 days in a row, and then it went back down, and then I experienced spotting, that's letting you know that your progesterone levels, you didn't actually produce strong progesterone levels, which means that you didn't have strong ovulation. So you possibly didn't have strong estrogen levels to create strong ovulation to then have strong progesterone levels. So there's many things that go into it. Ovulating is just one piece of the puzzle. So it's not that we just want to ovulate. We want to have strong ovulation. We want to have strong estrogen levels. We want to have strong progesterone levels. We want to have strong nutrient density. We want to have great egg quality. And let's remember, it takes two to tango. So the fertile part of it also has to do with sperm quality. So you could be ovulating, you could be doing all the things, but if your partner is a male and his sperm quality isn't great, or the morphology or the speed, there's a lot of different things that go into the sperm, then it's not going to happen, even if you are ovulating, right? So we have to also think about the sperm side of things. I did a podcast episode on sperm and I'll link that below as well. To answer the question, you can absolutely still, again, I don't want to use the word infertile, you can absolutely still have hormone imbalances that are going to affect your fertility, even though you're ovulating. So the first step is always to get you ovulating, right? Of course, that's the number one step, okay? That's one piece of the puzzle, amazing. We're ovulating, great. How can we strengthen that ovulation? How can we make sure we have nutrient density so that your estrogen levels are creating strong ovulation? How can we make sure we have nutrient density so that we have strong progesterone levels? How can we make sure that we're honoring the phases of our cycle and we're shifting things accordingly so we can hold on to those progesterone levels and we can nourish them in the luteal phase? How can we make sure that the sperm quality is great? How can we make sure that our egg quality is good, that our stress levels are good, that we are working on all the things that I teach in the Mind Your Hormones method and we talk about all the time? Your blood sugar, your inflammation, your nervous system, your liver, your nutrient density. These are all the things that we have to look at. And you can be ovulating even though you have these hormone imbalances. A lot of times, if your blood sugar is off, your nervous system is off, you have inflammation levels, your liver is not detoxifying well, you have nutrient deficiencies, that can cause you to not ovulate. However, you could still be ovulating with those imbalances, and it's just being presented in different ways. So just because you're ovulating does not mean that you don't have some kind of imbalance that is affecting your fertility. So we want to, of course, be ovulating, making sure that that's going in, that's in place, that's step number one, or I don't even, it's piece number one, puzzle piece that we need, but we have to go further than that. So I love this question because sometimes we think it's just like one thing and it's never just one thing. Our body is multifaceted and everything is connected. So we have to just go deeper. So love that question. That is number two. Okay. So obviously in this episode, we're talking about ovulation. We're talking about how you can support your hormones. In upcoming questions that I'm about to answer, we're going to be talking about supporting yourself while you're on birth control, if you're not ready to stop yet, and blood work and all the things. So I want to make sure that you know, because for every single hormonal issue that you possibly have, supporting your gut is always necessary. It's always something that's going to enhance your hormonal health, enhance your fertility, enhance your immune system, enhance your moods, your moods. It's going to enhance every single area of your life because your gut is the center of everything. It is literally the end all be all. It is directly connected to your brain via the vagus nerve, which is the biggest nerve in our body. It's directly connected to our immune system because 70 to 80% of our immune system lives there. 90% of our serotonin is produced in our gut. This is where we absorb nutrients. It's where we expel excess hormones out of the body. It's so crucial. So I highly recommend you going to gutpersonal.com/Corinne. Taking their free quiz, because this free quiz, it asks you questions based off of what symptoms you might be experiencing. And not all of them are gut related. Like not all of them are related to bloating and constipation and diarrhea. Some of them can be related to heartburn or getting sick often or yeast infections or body rashes. And it asks you questions to pinpoint what your symptoms are. And then it will recommend specific supplements that they have that's going to target your specific area that needs work. And the way this works is functional registered dietitians who have worked on gut health for so long. I'm personally friends with the founder. She's been on this podcast, Bridget Carroll. I obviously would never bring on a sponsor of the show unless I use their products. I highly recommend them. I back them. You obviously know that I get asked to, you know, be an affiliate for so many different brands. And I'm always saying no, because I'm like, I don't approve of these ingredients or the quality of the work that you're putting out. So I 100% support these products. I know that they're really, really, really going to support you. The ones that I have used and have loved are obviously the Miracle Worker Magnesium. I talk about it all the time. They're vitamin D plus K drops. I'm obsessed with the Soother, the Healer, the Go-To Probiotic, their Greens Powder. I mean, there's so many different ones, but what I really want you to do is to take the quiz to see which ones are going to benefit you the most based off of what you specifically need. We can all use the Miracle Worker Magnesium. We can all use the vitamin D, but beyond that, I want you to see what other supplements are recommended for you and your specific gut health, because it's going to help you so much. So if you have any questions about their products, please reach out to me. I would love to support you in them. And because you're a listener of the show and Gut Personal sponsors the podcast, you get a discount when you use code Corinne, C-O-R-I-N-N-E at checkout. Just go to gutpersonal.com/Corinne and use code Corinne at checkout. The link is always in the show notes. If you have any questions, let me know. And now let's get back to the rest of this episode. Moving into number three, if all of your blood work are within the normal ranges, both day two and day 22 of your cycle, does this mean you do not have hormonal imbalances? Or is it still possible to have imbalances even though they look good? Oh, such a great question. And this is multifaceted. So I'm very vocal about blood work. I talk about this all the time, specifically with my situation. Now, if you are someone who is maybe new around here, maybe you don't know my story, I was someone who had an irregular period since the day I got it when I was 15 and a half. It would come maybe 3 times a year, 4 times a year, totally random, no rhyme or reason to it. I then lost it for a full 2 years. I had monthly migraines. I had body rashes, like so bad. I had to go on steroids. I was gaining weight. I had facial hair growth. I had, I was diagnosed with IBS because I had chronic bloating and constipation. And with all of that, all of my blood work always came back normal. My migraines, my MRI came back normal. When I went to the gastro, it didn't come back normal. They said I have IBS, but everything else was always normal. Blood work always, 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 always normal. So what I always say is that the normal, quote unquote, normal ranges are not optimal ranges. The normal ranges that we see on blood work is just the average of what everyone who's getting tested is falling within. And in case we haven't noticed, not everybody has great ranges. So we don't want to fall into the normal ranges. We want optimal ranges. And that's really important to be working with someone who can actually read the optimal ranges. Like if you're working one-on-one with me, if you are working with a functional medicine doctor or a naturopath, they are going to know the optimal ranges. And that is what's extremely, extremely important. So that is number one to this. So just because your blood work is within normal ranges does not mean you don't have a hormonal balance. I don't even require my clients to always get blood work done depending on what we're working on, depending if they're one-on-one, what's actually going on, because I look at the person in front of me. I look at the symptoms that they are presenting with. And because I have a holistic nutrition background, I obviously have been doing this for a while, I can pinpoint what symptoms you're experiencing and what it's leading back to. Now, that's not to say that sometimes blood work isn't necessary. It absolutely is. It can definitely give us a big picture. It just depends on what type of blood work you're getting, when you're testing it, which is what I'm going to get into next, and how you are reading it. So if you're just going to your gyno, you're getting tests done, it's falling into normal ranges, but you're still experiencing problems getting pregnant, or you're still experiencing irregular periods or painful periods or fatigue or anxiousness or PMS or whatever, trust your body, listen to your body. You know better than a blood work that something is off if you are feeling it in your body. So that is number one to this question. The second part is, she said, if all of your blood work are within normal ranges, both day two and day 22 of your cycle. So I like that the doctor is trying to test things on different days because that's very important. However, those days are not accurate. So the days that you're talking about, day two, I actually prefer estrogen to be tested on day three, not day two, but close enough. But the point of the day 22, you're supposed to test your progesterone levels a week after you ovulate. This day that they told you to go and get your blood work on is assuming that you ovulate on day 14. And this, or not, yeah, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. Yeah, day 14. not a mathematician. Let me just make sure I got that math right. So that's assuming that you are ovulating on day 14, but not everybody ovulates on day 14. If I was someone to go in and get tested my progesterone levels on day 22, like you said was recommended for you, that would not be accurate for me because I normally ovulate around day 21. It doesn't always change, but it has fluctuated here and there. So if I'm ovulating on day 21, I'm not going to get a good picture of if my progesterone levels are strong if I go test it on day 22. We want to test it a week after ovulation to see that your progesterone levels are staying high a week after you ovulate. That is what's key. So when you are testing your progesterone levels, you have to be tracking your ovulation. Number one, you have to be tracking your basal body temperature so you know when you actually ovulated. And then you need to be testing your progesterone levels a week after whenever you ovulated. So it can't just be as simple as, okay, day two, day 22, because that's not going to work for everybody. So that's the other piece of this. So if you are getting these levels tested by a doctor and they tell you this day and this day, you could say, actually, I usually ovulate around this day. So I would like to get it tested on this day and I'm going to be tracking. So I will make the blood work appointment when I know that I've ovulated and I know it's a week after my ovulation, so I'm going to schedule it then. This is where we have to really advocate for ourselves and speak up and show that we are educated in this topic. We know what's actually best, and they're essentially working for you, okay? They're your doctor. You don't need to stay with them. First of all, you can fire them if you don't like them, but they're essentially working for you. So I know sometimes it's really hard to speak up in these situations because we're taught to be good girls and not to make a fuss and not to be annoying, and we don't want to be that person, but this is your body and this is your life experience. And if you know what the actual truth is and what we really do need to get quality results, aside from it, even if it comes back in normal range, that's a whole nother thing with testing the optimal levels like we just talked about. But if you at least know the timing piece of it, that's one piece that really needs to be in place. So that's the other piece of this question, making sure that it's not just on day 22, it has to be a week after you ovulate. And that even if it comes back normal, you 100% can still have hormonal imbalances. I remember when my blood work came back normal, I was like, I literally haven't gotten a period in a year. I am bloated, constipated, migraines, whatever. How is it normal? That literally makes no sense to me. He's like, well, everything's a normal range. So that's why I was misdiagnosed without PCOS, even though I actually do have it, because my numbers weren't off enough. I'm like, okay, well, again, I don't like feeling like this. So whether whether it says it's normal or not, it is not the normal that I am going to deem normal and that I'm going to live with. So I'm going to do this on my own. Thank you for nothing. See you later. Like that's the other thing too. Do you want to live in the body and in the experience that you're in right now, even if it says it's normal? Okay, cool. Everything's normal, but I'm still experiencing X, Y, and Z. You have the power to change that using food, using lifestyle, using nutrition. Hence why we have this podcast. Hence why I have programs around this, because I know how powerful it is to actually shift these things and how much it actually will change your life regardless of what your blood work is. So there you go. That is number three. And let's just go into number four because we have time. I didn't do too many tangents and this one isn't that long, but it's a really great question. So I want to get to it. So the last one is, she asked, I've listened to the episodes on birth control on the podcast, but I like my IUD. What can I do to optimize hormones and wellness while continuing to use an IUD for now? I love this question because it's different for everybody. Some people are like, you know, I know the negative side effects, but I'm just not ready to stop yet. That's totally fine. I never want someone to feel like they have to force themselves to stop it. It should always be something that you are ready to do. But I love that you're asking the question of how can I support my body now? Because there's so many things that you can actually do to support your body now while you're on it. Everything that I teach you on the podcast of how to safely stop birth control and everything I teach you in Peace Out Birth Control to do that, as well as in the Mind Your Hormones method, is also beneficial for you, even if you are staying on birth control. I've had a few clients that I could think of off the top of my head that have gone through the Mind Your Hormones method and still have not stopped birth control yet because they weren't ready. They're now actually about to. And what's amazing is that their prep is done. They've already created this lifestyle. All the prep is done. Now they could just stop and know that the negative side effects aren't going to be as heightened and everything's ready to go because they've been preparing their body for so long. So I absolutely love this question. What I am going to point out is in the question, you said, what can I do to optimize my hormones? Here's the thing. You can't optimize your hormones while you're on hormonal birth control because your naturally occurring hormones are not functioning, right? You have synthetic hormones in your body. So the wording of this, I just want to talk to you about because I don't want you to think that you can optimize your hormones in all the same way as you could if you're not on hormonal birth control. Can you support your body through it being on synthetic hormones? Yes, absolutely 100%. But optimizing them is not something you can do because your naturally occurring hormones are not functioning. But let's talk about how you can support your body as best as possible to reduce some of the negative side effects. All the podcasts I already did on birth control, everything I talk about safely stopping it, that also applies to you if you're not ready to stop it. So I know that you said you listened to those episodes. You can go back and listen to them again. And any of the tips that I talked about in there will still apply for anybody, whether you're on the NuvaRing, the pill, the depot shot, the implant, the IUD, whatever it is, and you're just like, I don't know when I'm ready to stop, but I do want to prepare my body now. Go check out those episodes. Obviously, if you want a full deep dive into it, you really want to know how to support yourself. That's where Peace Out Birth Control comes in. That's where the Mind Your Hormones method comes in. Depends on what kind of depth you want to actually go to, but I'll always put those links in the show notes for you for whenever you're ready for that. And that's amazing because you'll have all the knowledge to support yourself now and then be good to go when you do want to stop it. And the fertile window training that I was talking about before, that's also part of the Mind Your Hormones method as well as Peace Out Birth Control. But as far as the IUD, because that's who is asking this question, you have an IUD. The main thing with an IUD is that inflammation is present. That's what's actually causing the IUD to work. It's causing inflammation in your body and it's inflaming your pelvic floor area. That's like part of what it's doing to help prevent pregnancy. So inflammation is a major problem with an IUD. So reducing inflammation as much as possible is huge while you're on this hormonal form of an IUD. So that can look like reducing inflammatory foods, supporting your stress levels, and really supporting your nutrient density. That is absolutely another thing, especially with an IUD, depending on what it is. Some people use the copper IUD and they're like, oh, but I'm using the copper IUD. But the copper IUD affects your zinc levels because copper and zinc work hand in hand. So this can cause a lot of issues in your body. So making sure that you're also focusing on your nutrient density. So two areas I would focus on, obviously go back and listen to any of the birth control episodes I've done. And if you want to dive deeper into this, Peace Out Birth Control or the Mind Your Hormones method is where I would recommend for you to go. But for right now, I'll talk to you about the two places to
focus on is inflammation and nutrient density. Again, reducing inflammatory foods, and that could be sugar, processed foods, dairy, gluten, things like that. Making sure that you are having a lot more fiber, plant foods, beans, soluble fiber, like all of these things, especially because the soluble fiber, like beans and oats, are going to help grab onto the excess hormones, the synthetic hormones that are in your body, and help remove them on a daily basis so they're not being built up in your body. If you're having a meat-heavy diet and you're not having a lot of soluble fiber, a lot of plant foods, then those synthetic hormones are just going to keep getting recirculated. Obviously, they're going to be in your body on a daily basis because it's something that's constantly in your body, but we can at least improve the process of getting some of them out as we can on a daily basis so it's not totally overburdened. So really focusing on insoluble and soluble fiber, more plant foods, reducing inflammatory foods, working on your stress levels because yes, stress does cause inflammation. Lack of sleep causes inflammation. All of these things cause inflammation in our body, over-exercising, a lot of things that we talk about. So those are some things that you could think about. And then supporting nutrient density. Like I said, hormonal birth control, depending on the type that you're on, is going to negatively impact your nutrient density. So we always want to make sure that we have enough nutrients in our body, obviously to just feel as best as we can to make sure that our body is functioning as well as possible. And then specifically when you are going to stop, your body is able to function as optimally as possible because it has the nutrients available to do so. Our body needs a therapeutic range of nutrients when we're on some form of healing journey, when we're working on our fertility, when we're working on our menstrual cycle, when we're working on our immune system, our overall health, when we are on some type of medication like hormonal birth control, like an antidepressant, like anti-anxiety, like whatever it is. Our body needs a therapeutic range of nutrients because without it, it's only going to be able to do what is required for our body to stay alive. We need extra nutrients for healing and for dealing with this extra stress on our body. So go back and listen to the episodes I've done. I've talked about some nutrients that are really important. We talk about magnesium a lot. We talk about a multi or a prenatal if you are going to be conceiving shortly after you get off the hormonal IUD or birth control, whatever it is. Obviously, my supplement training is where I would highly recommend you go. It is one of that, and the fertile window training are so powerful. It is the best money you will ever spend. They're each $111. There is a bundle option. I'll put them in the show notes, but it is so important for you to know not only what nutrients to put in your body, but why they're really, really important, the specific dosages, the timing for each, and the brands I recommend. It's an hour-long training, but there are different protocols for different people. So there's a full protocol on if you want to stop hormonal birth control. There's a full protocol for if you are looking to naturally conceive or if you're pregnant. There's a protocol on PCOS and endometriosis and painful periods. And there's a full protocol on overall cyclical health and wellness. So it's really, really important for me to not just spew out supplements to you on this podcast, but because obviously we'd be here all day if I was able to teach you everything that I'm teaching you in the supplement protocol. So highly recommend checking that out. But that is what I would say. And I love that you're looking to support your body while you're on birth control. I think it's so important because there are people that just aren't ready to stop yet, and that's totally fine. But there's so much you can do to actually support yourself before you do. So I hope that you like this episode. I love these questions. And I know that if some of them were asking it, then I know maybe you specifically were curious about some of these questions as well. And you can always head into the free Facebook community if you want to hear the rest of these Q&As, because there were a lot more questions that I answered. And I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Let me know if you liked this episode, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode and learned something valuable, please share it with a friend who you think would also love it, or post it on social media and tag me so I could personally say thank you for helping me spread this important message. I am beyond grateful to be here with you. So until next time, stay intentional, stay consistent, and always mind your hormones.